Thankful to be here tonight and thankful for each one of you. Always count it a great privilege to be here. Appreciate your wonderful pastor and I appreciate each and every one of you. You're such beautiful examples and I appreciate that tonight. I'd like to have you turn with me, if you will, to Matthew, the 9th chapter. Matthew, the 9th chapter, beginning with verse 35. Matthew 9 and 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel, or the good news of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. I like that tonight. Amen. When Jesus comes into your life, if you got faith, he can clean you up real good. Amen. If you really believe he can. The Bible says every sickness and every disease he took care of among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Amen. Do you realize tonight that our Savior, amen, our great Savior, has feelings just like you and I have? Amen. He's moved with compassion, just like you and I should be. And the Bible says he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest is truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. We want to use verse 36 as our text for the message tonight. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Amen. Another translation says he felt great pity for the crowds that came because their problems were so great and they didn't know where to go for help. I want to speak along the thought of a divine compassion for souls. A divine compassion for souls. Now that word divine means from above. Amen. It means heavenly, in nature descending from above. Compassion, pity for suffering, with desire to help. Sympathy, mercy, empathy, and love. I ask you tonight, as we begin, a few questions. When you pass individuals in the community that clearly lack sound biblical teaching, do you feel compassion towards them? Or do you look on at them and make fun of them and thank God you're not like them? Amen. And turn your head and walk away? Or do you really have a heart of compassion? Amen. How about those of the household of faith and perhaps are struggling? Those that have maybe gone through some rough times and are struggling, do you cast them aside? Do you turn your back on them? Or do you really show them compassion? How about those that just don't seem to fit in? Those that are on the outcast? You see, I believe when we get saved, the Bible tells us in Ezekiel, we get a new heart. God gives us a heart of flesh. And then he begins to pin his law on our heart. And he gives us a heart of compassion. Amen. When we see souls out there in sin, when we see people on the streets with no food, nowhere to pillow their head, we have compassion. Amen. I think often of the Apostle Paul. Now, he said he was the chief of all sinners. But God used him. And God will use you and I tonight if we'll be willing and obedient. But I think of Paul when he wrote there in 1 Corinthians, he said, not many wise, not many noble, after the flesh are called. Amen. Why is that? Because they don't realize they're in need of a Savior. They have a lot of self-righteousness. Amen. The Bible tells us our self-righteousness is as filthy rags. Amen. We need the righteousness of God. But I think about that often in dealing with souls because it just seems like those that come around and really cling to the church are those that are needy in nature. those that maybe have been rejected by society. But I think how beautiful that is. God takes those individuals, amen, he saves them, he cleans them up, gives them a new life, and gives them that good foundation to build their life upon, amen, and then they start out their family, and they start a whole new generation, and it's a beautiful thing tonight, amen. Do you really have a heart of compassion for these individuals? 1 John 3:16 says this, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. And then I thought there of Galatians, the 6th chapter, the apostle said, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, amen. The Bible often tells us to look at little children for lessons about this and that. And when I look on at a little children, you think about a child that's starting out in this life. He's learning how to walk and eat and do all these things that you and I do as just second nature, so to speak. But when that child stumbles and falls, you don't cast them aside. You don't punish them. You don't kick them and do all these things. Amen. It's the same way with a new convert. We've got to allow them to grow in the things of God. Amen. We've got to really show them compassion. Amen. And not just in word. The writer here says in truth and in deeds. Amen. You see someone that's struggling, invite them over for a meal. Amen. Take them out for a meal. Give them a phone call. Check on them. Ask them how they're doing. It takes a lot of work. Amen. And working with souls today, it takes a lot of work to really build a congregation, but it's worth it. And I believe it's worth every minute of it. Amen. Let's have the compassion that God wants us to have tonight for lost humanity. And then we are told of a beautiful story, a parable in Luke, the 15th chapter. I'm sure most are acquainted with this story, Luke 15, of the prodigal son. But just want to read a few verses here in Luke, the 15th chapter. You'll remember there that son, the younger one, asked for his portions, and away he went of the inheritance. And the Bible says in the 13th verse of the 15th chapter of Luke, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living, or excessive living. But then we jump down to the 20th verse, and we see a beautiful picture. Amen, of one that returns to the Father's house. And this is a picture, dear ones, tonight, of one that's lost in sin, returning to the house of God. Returning to the Father, he says, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great far off, his father saw him and had compassion on him, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and bring a ring and put it on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this was my son, was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Amen. That father ran. The father saw the son afar off. And I ask you tonight, are you running to meet the soul that is lost? Does divine compassion cause you to go and seek out an individual that's perishing without God? Amen. Do you really have the compassion tonight God wants us to have? Our text again says, he was moved. Amen. I like that word. Believe you, the Bible tells us there that he was really stirred up in passion inside, with compassion on those that fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Psalms 126. We get a familiar passage here. Psalms 126 and verse 5 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing in sheaves with him. Amen. I believe tonight if we are faithful to carry that seed, the Bible tells us that seed's the Word of God. To the unsaved, God will surely reward us with future harvest. Amen. Or with bringing in of lost souls. One scholar said this, winners of souls are first weepers for souls. As there is no burden without travail, so there is no spiritual harvest without painful tillage. When our own hearts are broken with grief at man's transgression, we shall break other men's hearts. Amen. Another writer said it is broken or heartbroken prayers that get results. Amen. I wonder tonight, when's the last time you spent in a long prayer for a lost soul? Amen. I believe God wants us to have a soul burden tonight. I believe God will lay souls on our hearts, on our minds that are lost out here if we really want to carry that burden, if we're really concerned. Amen. That's the first thing, I believe, one of the first marks of a true born-again believer, Christian, is that they have a soul burden. They want everyone else to have that same experience that they just went through. Amen. When God's cleaned them up and given them a new life. We're told over and over in the Word of God that our God is a God of compassion. We can turn, just read a few verses here. Psalms, the 78th chapter, verse 36 says, nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues, for their heart was not right unto him, or with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, speaking of God, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away, and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away, and cometh not again. Amen. How many of you have had to cry upon the compassion of our God at one time or another in your life? Amen. Maybe you made a mistake. Maybe you said something that you really shouldn't have said. Amen. You cried out for God to have compassion upon you. We ought to have it for one another, dear ones. Allow for some faults to take place, because they will. Words will be spoken, this or that. Have compassion. Amen. Psalms 86, 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, and a gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. And then I thought there in Micah, just a few more scriptures on the compassion of God. In Micah, 7th chapter, verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. And that's what God does tonight for every born-again individual. Amen. Cast your sins in the depths of the sea. And then again in Psalms, 103rd division of Psalms, verse 10 says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Amen. We should be thankful for that tonight. No one here is worthy of what God has given us tonight. Amen. But God's merciful, and he's had compassion on us. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Over and over we see in the Word of God where God is likened unto a father, just like you and I have fathers of the flesh. Amen. That are concerned about us and that care for us. That's how God is with us. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. Verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments, to do them. Amen. Why did God time and time again repent of the evil he had pronounced against individuals, even whole nations? We can read about there with Jonah and Nineveh, and then many, many individuals where God repented of the evil he had once pronounced on them. He had compassion, amen, on those individuals when they repented or when they had an about face and they turned from their evils. God's not willing that any perish, amen. It's not God's desire tonight that any perish, but his desire is that all of us come to a knowledge of truth. Amen. And that's God's desire tonight. And that's why the world still stands. I was in my car some weeks ago traveling down the highway on what seemed to be a perfect day. And I heard come across the radio some announcer, and he began to make light of the weather and say how it was this and how it was that. And I just marveled in my mind how the weather can be almost perfect, nearly perfect, and people can still find room to complain about the weather. And then I begin to think about how God allows for all those things to happen. Amen. God's a God of love, and he's not willing that any perish. I believe God began to bring these thoughts to my mind as I saw some of those things that went on with Saddam Hussein. I'm sure most of you are aware of all that. And I got on the computer the other day to do some business, and I saw some of the footage of all that, and it about made me sick to see some of that. But I thought there, as they begin to put that rope around his neck and all this business, there are many, I'm sure, that are saying, or that are happy, are glad, because he deserved all this. But I didn't look at it that way. I felt sorry for him. I really felt sorry for him. Amen. And then as I heard about him swearing and doing all these other things as he went into eternity, I felt even more sorry for him. Because I know where he's going, no doubt. Certainly, God's the judge. We've got to leave it in his hands. But it just doesn't look good. Amen. And he's got a soul. That man's got a soul. And I believe God's a God of compassion. Tonight, God's not desirous that any perish. I don't care how much sin you've been involved with. I don't care what your past has been like. God wants to save you. Amen. And I don't believe you and I as individuals should look on individuals out here in the world as sinners, as what they're involved in. But look at them as individuals as to what God could make of them, as to what they could be when God got a hold of them. Think about a man like him, how influential he was in his world over there, if he was a true man of God, what a work that could have been done over there. It's too late now, but amen, you and I are still laboring tonight. And there's other individuals that we'll come in contact with if God allows this earth and the world to continue as it is tonight. I don't believe we should look on individuals that we face on a daily basis as, well, they're just sinners. That one's just involved in a bunch of sin. They're worthless. Bible says not to say racha to anyone or not to say they're worthless, but to look at them, amen, as an individual that God could use if they would come in and submit themselves to God. God wants everyone, amen. He's not desirous that any perish. We're serving a God tonight that's full of compassion. And I don't care what you've been involved with, what sin you've been involved with, God wants to save you. Amen. God is a God of compassion. Isaiah 53 and 6. Amen. This is why I believe you and I are to have this same compassion tonight. When we work with souls, when we're out here laboring for God, Isaiah 53 and 6 says, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. But we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. And then it goes on to speak about his sufferings. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Amen. And then individuals today, they want to, amen, when someone comes at them and accuses them of this or that, they want to fight them, and they want to do this or that. Here was Christ, faultless before all mankind. He was spit upon, he was hit, yet the Bible says he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison, from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in the death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Why? Because he did it willingly. He was obedient, the Bible says, unto death. Amen. And so you and I are to be an obedient people. Amen. Let me say this tonight, dear ones. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. But just as in Isaiah, the first chapter of the Bible says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Amen. But if you choose not to do those things, amen, you'll be cut off with the sword. In other words, God wants to bless you tonight, but you've got to be obedient to His precepts, to His words. Amen. God wants to bless you tonight. God wants to have compassion upon you tonight, but you've got to be obedient. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. And then 1 Peter 2:25. 1 Peter 2:25 says, for ye, again, here we have the reference to the prophet, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So we can jump back a few verses in that chapter, 1 Peter 2. Let's read verse 20. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously, who His own self bare our sins in His own body and on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Amen. Here was our example. The Bible tells us that Jesus was our example in all things. And then I thought there in John, the 13th chapter, verse 15, he says, and speaking about the ordinance of feet washing, we're all aware of this, he says, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. And then he goes on to say, if ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Amen. Christ was a man acquainted with sorrows. He was despised. He endured humiliation, and he was mocked, reviled, hit, spit upon, and in the end crucified. Yet he showed compassion for lost humanity. Amen. Remember there, as he went to his own, the Bible tells us in John, the first chapter, he went unto his own, and his own received him not. And you read about that account to old Jerusalem. Amen. In Matthew, the 23rd chapter, let's just read a few verses there. I know I have a lot of scripture tonight, but just hang in with me here. Matthew, the 23rd chapter, looking out over Jerusalem, Jesus said, Matthew 23, 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Amen. God wants unity. He doesn't want division. And He wants us all to dwell together in perfect unity. He wants us all to be together. He wants us all to love one another. Amen. Not that we allow for sin. That's not it at all. But He wants us to get along. Amen. And then pray for those that are, amen, are being taken down with the devil. Pray for those that are struggling. Show them compassion. Show them real love. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Amen. The shortest verse in the Bible is what? Jesus wept. Amen. Jesus was just like you and I. The Bible says He was tempted at all points as you and I were tempted. Yet He had no sin. He was compassionate. The Bible speaks over and over as we brought forth that He was a man of compassion. And then I thought about the way He dealt with individuals. We all know the woman that was taken with adultery and how those religious leaders brought her forth. Amen. And they thought she should be stoned, didn't they not? Amen. In the Old Testament, she no doubt would have been. But Jesus didn't want to do that. Jesus didn't came to destroy life. He came to restore life. Amen. He came to raise you up from your sins. Amen. And give you the power to live above your sins. Not in them, above them. Amen. John, the 8th chapter, we have this story here of the woman that was taken with adultery and brought forth to Jesus. Amen. Those scribes and Pharisees thought they could really catch Him at His words. But they brought Him forth. And let's maybe begin there. Let's just pick up a few verses. Verse 5, now Moses in the law commandeth us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down. Amen. We might say he was a man of few words. He just got down on the ground and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And what do we see in verse 11? She said, no man, Lord. Or he says, woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Amen. Amen. Jesus had compassion on her. He didn't want to kill her, like the old law, Old Testament said to do. He wanted to see her get an experience. Amen. That's how you and I should be again. Like I say with this lost, amen, souls around us, we should have compassion on them. Our desire should be to see them saved. Amen. To live this beautiful life that you and I are enjoying tonight. Matthew 6, verse 30. Read a little bit more about the compassion of our wonderful Lord and Savior. Matthew 6, verse 30. Says this, wherefore, Mark, that didn't look right, Mark 6, verse 30, Mark 6, 30, yes, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught, and he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed in a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were as a sheep having no shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Amen. We know that he goes on to feed these people, amen, food with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And I like what the Bible says, and when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he took up, looked up to heaven and blessed them and brake the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before them the 2 fishes and divided among them. And they did all eat, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of fishes, and they did eat. The loaves were about 5,000. Amen. God had compassion on them. And as I was studying this afternoon, this song came to me, and I believe maybe you, the choir here has sung it, but listen to the words of this beautiful song. It's entitled, Give Me a Passion for Souls. As I was thinking of souls lost in sin, souls that the Savior His life gave to win, I was so burdened, where could I begin? This is the prayer that I prayed. Souls, Lord, give me a passion for souls, I pray. Help me to open this mouth of mine. Tell of your wonderful love divine. Souls, Lord, help me to win them for thee. Help me to be a witness for thee. Give me a passion for souls. Isn't that beautiful? Verse 2. Friend, are you burdened for souls lost in sin? Souls that the Savior His life gave to win. Are you concerned that they be gathered in? This is the prayer you should pray. Souls, Lord, give me a passion for souls, I pray. Help me to open this mouth of mine, tell of your wonderful love divine. Souls, Lord, help me to win them for thee. Help me to be a witness for thee. Give me a passion for souls. Amen. Do you really desire to see souls saved tonight? I want to see the church grow. Everywhere I go, everywhere I'm called upon to preach. Amen. I tell them everywhere I go, I want to see the church grow. Amen. There's some locations, there's just a handful of people. Others, there's a couple hundred or 2 or 3 or 4. But we want to see this church grow. Amen. We want to see more and more souls gathered in. Most importantly, we want to see souls saved from a life of sin. Amen. You see, I believe tonight when our enthusiasm and love for the truth begins to die, the spirit of divine compassion also dies. Amen. When we no longer have a desire to get to the house of worship, when we lose our desire to read and pray, amen, we lose that desire for souls. We lose that compassion. Amen. The world goes about with a fabrication of love, a fabrication of compassion. Amen. But a true child of God has a divine compassion. Amen. They have a compassion that's from above. Amen. I believe God will help us. Now, you may think, be here tonight and say that I am a shy person and I can't speak for God like I ought to. Pray. Amen. I believe God's able to help us in all avenues, in all ways. Remember, even the Apostle Paul prayed, amen, that I may open my mouth boldly and preach the gospel, speak it, make the truths known. Amen. All of us should have that desire tonight. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to comfort the feeble-minded. He came to bring healing to the blind. Amen. He came to raise up souls from a life of sin. Amen. Our God is a God of compassion. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly." Amen. "Or those that do not work, warn them. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient towards all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and unto all men." Amen. And I say tonight, are we above Christ that we shouldn't do the same? Amen. We may be called on at times to comfort the feeble-minded. Have you ever had to spend some time with someone that just wasn't in their right mind? That takes a lot of patience. Nevertheless, Jesus said to do it. He said to comfort the feeble-minded. Amen. That's your and ours responsibility as well. Ezekiel, the 34th chapter. Pick up here a prophecy. Goes right along with God's desire that His sheep be gathered in, be in one fold. Ezekiel 34, beginning verse 11. "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock." And I thought of this tonight because I think sometimes when we're looking, amen, for souls, when we're searching for souls, sometimes we've got to really go deep. We've got to really search them out, seek them out. Amen. I know in working with souls personally, there's been times when the house of worship's rolled around, time for meetings rolled around, and they weren't there. Amen. And so I began to get on the phone. As soon as service was over, I got in my car and I went looking for them. Where were they? Amen. They should have been in church. Amen. And if you're not in church, we get concerned. Amen. And you should get concerned too. Amen. We are our brother's keeper. I get asked that a lot. Amen. Why do you call me? Why are you concerned about me? Because I believe we are our brother's keeper. Amen. Every single one of you should take a look around yourselves. You should know your brothers and sisters in the Lord. And if they're missing, you should be concerned. You should call them. Where were you? We had service tonight. We had a beautiful service. We missed you. We love you. Is there anything we can do to help? Amen. That's all of our job. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the elders. It's all of our responsibility. Amen. "As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places in the country. I will feed them in a good pasture. And upon the high mountains of Israel shall there be their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture they shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. Amen. Or preaching. Amen. Of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I always think it's a good test to the honesty of a soul to bring them right in the house of worship. Amen. And see how they stand under the preaching of the gospel. See how they sit under some judgment preaching. If they're really honest, they'll like it. They'll stick around. They'll inquire about it. They'll ask some questions. But if they're not, they'll make light of it. Amen. And they'll run. They'll flee. So you and I may have to seek out the lost sheep. Amen. To bring them into this fold right here. This location right here in Newark, Ohio. Where they can hear some judgment preaching. Amen. Where they can hear the truth being brought forth. And where a people live in obedience to God's eternal word. Amen. It's a beautiful thing tonight, saints. It's beautiful to see a people that dress the standard. Amen. That are obedient to a man of God. That are obedient to the word of God. Amen. The Bible says we have to be this way, that our prayers be not hindered. Amen. If you really want God to hear tonight, you've got to live right. Amen. You've got to act right. And certainly we need God tonight. What joy comes when a soul returns to the fold? Just turn back to Sunday night. At the conclusion of the service, when this sister came down and got saved, there was some shouting that took place. Amen. There's a lot of joy when a soul returns to the fold. Amen. I don't believe we should have that older brother syndrome, if we can call it that, where we stand back and make light and say, why don't I get all that attention and all this business? Amen. But when someone comes and gets saved, we should rejoice with them. The Bible says when those rejoice, rejoice with them. When they weep, you weep with them. Amen. We're compassionate. We're touched. Amen. When someone's hurting, we hurt. Amen. When someone rejoices, we rejoice. Why? Because we have compassion. Amen. Because we're concerned. We are our brother's keeper. Luke 15 and 7 says, I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. What a beautiful thing it is tonight to see a soul saved. Amen. To see a lost one brought into the Father's house. The Lord sets him down to eat of the fatted calf. Amen. Like the prodigal son did, or the precious word of God. They're clothed in robes of righteousness and are instructed in the ways of truth. And then God begins to pin his laws on their heart. Amen. That heart of flesh. It's a beautiful thing tonight. Amen. It's a beautiful thing tonight. You and I need to have compassion for souls tonight. A divine compassion. I believe a divine compassion will bring a result. Don't you? Amen. If we're really concerned about someone, we're really praying for someone, amen, we're weeping for someone's soul, there'll be a result come along sooner or later. The psalmist says it'll happen. Amen. If you weep going forth, amen, they'll come forth. Sheaves. Amen. Matthew 14 to 14 says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. Amen. You read where Jesus was moved with compassion, often it followed by an act, amen, of God. He healed the sick. Amen. He raised them up. He was moved with compassion. He raised them up out of their sick bed. He healed them. All these things. Matthew, the 20th chapter, verse 34 says, Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Amen. And then I thought about Legion. We all know the story of Legion. Possessed with devils. Amen. But I thought there as Jesus touched him, I love the verse there where it says, he was sitting and he was clothed and he was in his right mind. Amen. Amen. Here was a man, he went about naked, cutting himself, doing all kinds of weird things. But when Jesus got a hold of him, he didn't do even weirder things. He sat down, we might say he shut up, he put some clothes on, and he was in his right mind. Amen. That's what Jesus does to a life. It's a beautiful thing. You begin to act right. Amen. You begin to talk right. You begin to dress right. Amen. I thought there in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, remember where Paul discussed all the spiritual gifts, talked about all the beauty of them all? We all know that the Apostle Paul was gifted, very much so with these gifts. But he goes on in the last verse of the 12th chapter to say, I show unto you a more excellent way. What was that way? Love. And I really believe tonight among Christendom, if we can call it that, what lacks so much of the time is just love. Amen. Just a simple love for humanity. Amen. God says, how dwelleth the love of God in you? If you close up your bowels of compassion, when you see your brother has need, amen, you say, I can't help him, and you go on about your way. Amen. How do you pillow your head at night doing those sort of things? I don't know. Amen. Not if you have the love of God in your life tonight. Amen. The Bible tells us in that 13th chapter, it's a beautiful one, that love is patient and suffering, suffers long, it's kind, all these things. That's the love of God. Amen. That love can't be fabricated, it can't be made up, it can't be produced from works. Amen. It comes through the born-again experience. Amen. It comes from obedience. There is a hope for this world, and it's found in Jesus Christ. There is not a reason in the world why anyone should perish without Him. Certainly there's no excuse why anyone here tonight should perish without the Lord. Amen. For Christ is out searching for all lost souls tonight. He's seeking for the lost. Amen. And He has to use you and I. We are His instruments. Amen. And if God saved you, you're an instrument of righteousness. And you're set apart for God's use. And God wants to use you. Amen. He wants to use you tonight. Are you willing? Amen. As the prophet said, are you willing? And are you obedient? If you are, you'll eat the good of the land. Your life will be blessed. And God will use you in a miraculous way. God needs every single one of us tonight to further His cause. John 10:16 says, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And there they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Amen. God's got others out here tonight that He wants saved. And I believe that's why this world is still continuing as it is tonight. There are those that God wants to see saved. So saints, be encouraged. Don't lose hope. Amen. For your loved ones, for maybe it's a son or daughter, whoever it might be, don't lose hope. Continue praying. Hang on to that, your faith in God. Hang on to that thread of hope. As one songwriter put it, amen, because God will come through. He said He would. I like what the Hebrew writer says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Amen. We never know when we're going to entertain an angel of God. Amen. So be obedient. Amen. Open up your house, if that's what it takes, to entertain those that need a meal. Amen. Those that don't have a place to go, take them in. Amen. I believe you guys do the saints here do a beautiful job of that. God will bless you for it, because you never know. Amen. When you'll entertain an angel unaware. Amen. Let me read again in 1 John 3:18. I'm down near the end. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Amen. Jesus said in John, I believe it was the 14th chapter, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Amen. Or you'll be obedient. If you really love me, you'll obey everything I say. Dear children, let us stop just saying we love each other. Let us really show it by our actions. Amen. In closing, my prayer is that the hearts of all that are gathered here tonight be moved with compassion, as our Lord's heart was when He looked out over the multitudes. Amen. And He saw them with no shepherd, scattered abroad. His heart was moved with compassion. Amen. And our hearts tonight should be moved with compassion for lost humanity. I believe that if this compassion is from above, or a divine compassion, I'll say it again, it will bring about results. Amen. We'll see something that'll come of it. Isaiah 66 and 8, just a couple verses here in closing. Isaiah 66. Thank you for your good attention. Isaiah 66 and verse 8 says, "Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as," amen, "for as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children." Amen. What does that word mean, travail? It means to labor with some pain. Amen. When a woman goes through childbearing, she experienced a lot of pain, no doubt. I've never been there. Amen. But I've seen ones that have been there. My sisters certainly have been there, and they experience a lot of pain. But I'll tell you tonight, I've heard it from my sisters, I've heard it from my mom over and over, that it was worth every minute of it. Amen. And you can say that tonight about a soul too. Don't tell me, dear ones, if you've labored hours and days and months and years for a soul and they've been saved, that it wasn't worth it. Come on now. To see one soul saved is worth all the world. Amen. Amen. To see a camp meeting go forth and you may only see one soul saved, it's worth it. Amen. It's worth all the efforts to see one soul saved from a life of hell or from an eternal hell. What does he say there? As soon as Zion travailed. Amen. Or as soon as the church really labored with some pain, really travailed for souls, she brought forth. Amen. And that truth stands tonight, that as soon as you and I really labor, amen, really show a compassion for souls, we'll see them saved. Amen. I'm sure we all know ones tonight that are outside the ark of safety. The wise men said this, "He that winneth souls is wise." And I trust you want to be wise tonight. It's what you and I do individually that will count on the day of judgment. All of us will stand alone before God. Amen. And so I ask you, just personally, consider your own lives. What are you doing for God individually? Amen. Young people, the apostles said, "Let no man despise thy youth." Amen. I understand that youth is a time of vanity. I also understand that there's a lot of hard places we go through as young people. But the Apostle Paul admonished Timothy to not look down upon it. Don't allow others to look down upon it. Don't allow others, amen, to belittle your youth. Be an example. Amen. Be an example of a believer in word, in deed, in action, and all these things. Amen. Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, "For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Saints, we need a renewed motivation, a renewed love, a renewed concern, a new passion for souls. Amen. How is your compassion tonight for lost humanity? Amen. Let's not get content in our walk with God. Let's not get into a routine. Often at home we hear it from the pulpit, and I say it too. Amen. It's too easy to get into a routine of just meeting Sundays and Wednesdays and going through the motions. Amen. Coming in, singing the hymn, sitting down, and going to sleep, so to speak, in our minds. Let's not. Let's awake ourselves. Amen. We come and assemble. Let's get everything out of the service we can possibly get out of it. Amen. We're admonished often at home to open our psalm book, to follow along, sing the hymns. Amen. Because there's a real message there. We get a whole mini sermon before the sermon even begins. Amen. If we'll really sit up and listen and take note. Amen. Let's have a compassion for souls. Let me say this to young people. If you see those that are on the outside, so to speak, maybe don't seem to be accepted. Amen. Be aware of those things and see what you can do to help them. Amen. I'm sure all of us have been lonely at times. Maybe felt like no one cared. I'm sure we've all been there at some point or time, and how maybe a brother or sister came along, or certainly Jesus came along and administered a little bit of, amen, friendship to us. Amen. Cheered us up like none others can do. Amen. Let's look out for each other. Let's be aware of those that are struggling, those that are down in their soul, that are discouraged. Be aware of that. Amen. I believe we shouldn't just look on ourselves and on our own things. The Bible speaks about this, but also on the affairs of others. Not that we're trying to find fault, not that we're trying to be nosy, but that we're concerned. Amen. If you see a brother overtaken in the fault, what does the writer say? What does the apostle say? Ye which are spiritual, restore him, or lift him up in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also, amen, be tempted, or lest thou also fall the same way. Amen. Let's be careful tonight. Let's be aware of each other. Amen. Be aware of each other's hurts. Amen. If your brother hurts, hurt with him. Pray with him. Amen. Comfort him. See what you can do. Let's have a divine compassion for souls. Shall we stand?